bites his bottom lip, nodding as he moves in closer. Stilling, he plays with his lip ring, making my stomach instantly drop. There's a dangerous look about him, and I'm unsure of his intentions. The way he tongues that ring, seeing it dart out of his mouth, makes me wonder about the feel of it. I nervously bite the corner of my lip again, my eyes heavy with this intoxicating aura his presence is drawing out of me as I blink and look up at him again, feeling heavy and light all at the same time. His mouth drops open a bit as he stares at my lips, his warm breath reaching my skin.
Yeah, Cole. And third, don't look at your roommate like that again.
He speaks coldly as he leans around me, pouring a cup of coffee before heading towards the kitchen table. He sits down, leaving me trying to catch my breath as he pulls out a book and casually begins reading, like the event that just transpired never happened. I'm in a whirlwind of confusion. Look at him like what? What did I look like? Patrick comes out of the bedroom and I stand straight, trying to rid myself of the toxicities of this new roommate of mine. Hawk's eyes dart over to me and I could have sworn he chuckled.
Good morning, you two.
Patrick announces, happy as ever.
Couple of early risers, huh?
Neither of us respond to his rhetorical question. He smiles, approaching me, kissing me softly on the lips, then lingering there for a bit. Hawk's eyes peek from behind his book, watching us from the corner of my eye, so I put more effort into the kiss, basically telling him to screw off with it.
Damn, Angel, last night and now this? How'd I get so lucky?
Patrick comments, running his hand up my exposed thigh. I giggle bashfully as his hand slides up the back of my loose silk night shorts. Patrick smiles in playful approval, grabbing a handful of ass. I peer over to Hawk, who's staring at his book with his brows drawn together, as if he's contemplating the origins of life. I'll pack you lunch. Are you heading out soon? I ask, turning to grab the sandwich meat from the fridge.
Yeah, it's going to be another long day. My father has me meeting investors to take over some of his accounts for him.
That's amazing, babe. Sounds like a promotion to me, I say proudly, grabbing a knife to spread some mayonnaise on the bread.
Yeah, it definitely is, but it means more work. I've got to get all the files in order tonight and tomorrow before the meeting. It's going to be a late night. But you'll be working tonight anyway, right?
I see Hawk look up from his book at us from the corner of my eye. No, this was the one night I had off this week, remember? I sigh, trying not to sound like a whiny little brat, but I can't help it. It annoys me. My one night off, with no plans because I was holding out for Patrick. Again. And with everything else going on, the surprise convict roommate, the lackluster sex, and now leaving me home alone on my night off, I'm just, well, bummed.
I'm sorry, Angel, but you know I have to do this. My dad—
It's fine. You don't need to apologize. I'll find something to do. I'll be fine.
Hey, maybe you and Hawk could hang out. Watch a movie or something? Netflix and chill? Isn't that what we're calling it these days?
My eyes widen in horror as I look over at Hawk, who wears an uneven smirk on his mouth, his brows raised in confusion. My poor sweet boyfriend. So naive.
I have plans.
Trust me, I don't care, but he's just such an ass about it. Yes, hanging out with me probably isn't on anyone's wish list, but Jesus, his decline came fast and with a punch.
Oh well.
Patrick starts, trying to come up with something. I'll be fine, just go, I say, with a light, reassuring smile. He shouldn't have to worry about entertaining me. I'm a big girl, I can figure it out. Patrick leaves for work as I head to my room to edit for the day. Hawk is still at the table reading, so I pass by with my coffee in hand, saying nothing at all.
Cole,
he says softly, eyes still on his book. Did I imagine that? His voice was so quiet. I brush it off and continue walking.
Cole,
he says again, louder, and I turn to look at him by the door of the bedroom. He's slightly turned in his chair, his arm dangling over the back of it while his head tilts at an angle to look at me. I raise my brows, waiting for him to talk.
Just wanted to try it out.
He grins his wicked smile, then turns back to his book. Jerk. Later in the day, I hear Hawk leave the house, so I relax and decide to watch some TV. After binging a few shows, I grow bored and realize it's only 5. I grab my phone and look through my contacts. Who could I call? There's my sister, Johanna, who luckily lives on the other coast. There's John from work, who's probably spending time with his pregnant girlfriend or working at the bar tonight. And that's it. After college and moving to this new town with Patrick, I lost touch with most of my friends. I didn't have many people I truly connected with here yet, and I literally don't know anyone but Patrick and his family. When I moved here, it was solely for him and his plans. I should really try to branch out, meet some new friends. The problem is, I put so much stock in Patrick. I'm always waiting for him, planning my day around his schedule. I literally work around him instead of deciding what I want to do and when. It isn't fair. Yes, he provides for me, wants to build a life with me. But that doesn't take away from the fact that I'm my own person, too. I'm realizing how much I've been giving in this relationship, and it's really affecting me. I get up off the couch, head into our bedroom, and open the closet, looking at my sad reflection in the long-hanging mirror. I can't hole up here just because Patrick's gone. Screw this. Let me take a page out of Leonard's book and go to the bar solo. Grabbing my cute mini skirt from the hanger, I pair it with a simple rose-colored tank top and slide into my over-the-knee velvet boots. I curl the ends of my hair and leave it loose and down my back, apply some light makeup, then grab my purse and a light jacket and hit the road. If no one is around to wine and dine me, I'll take myself out on a date. I deserve it. 6. Not a party. What a horrible idea this was. I felt confident at home, but as soon as I stepped foot into 9-to-5 slide, I felt like a damn fool. It's busy tonight, which is helpful, but I keep getting looks from random guys, probably wondering what the hell I'm doing dressed up in a small-town biker bar. Because, let's be honest, who the hell does this? John's eyes catch mine from behind the bar as his face lights up.
Nick, hey, what are you doing here?
I'm here to drink, I answer, sidling myself up to the old mahogany.
Well, you came to the right place, I think,
he comments with confused amusement. Kinda got ditched last minute and I just wanted to get out of the house. I was hoping to ask Leonard on a date, but it appears even he is busy tonight. He laughs and grabs a bottle behind him. Putting 2 shot glasses down, he pours up the dragon's blood. Oh man, what's this mixed with tonight? Dragon's blood gets made early in the night. Usually tail ends of whatever bottles of alcohol that could flow together, making a toxic concoction that would be sure to set you right. Total small town bar shit.
Your guess is as good as mine.
He raises his brows along with his shot glass, clinking mine before we both choke down the burning liquid.
Fuck.
Ugh, I taste Jaeger in that, I say in a hoarse tone.
And something peach.
He twists his face.
Another?
I make a pained face, pushing my glass forward, shrugging. Why not? A few drinks in and I'm feeling all warm and friendly. I play a game of solo darts while making conversation with a 60-year-old construction worker who's also conveniently alone for the night. He offers to buy me a drink up at the bar as John watches in total amusement. He laughs and slides over a cranberry vodka, and I thank the old man who's settling up to leave. I head back over to my solo dart session with my fresh drink. Just as I'm pulling the darts out of the dartboard, the front door swings open, and I see Billy Idol Knockoff walk in with some of the same guys that were here the other night celebrating Hawk's recent prison release. He peeps me in the corner immediately and walks over.
Hey, it's you,
he says excitedly, leaning against the pub table near me. It's hard not to admit he's cute, in a wired-out, Machine Gun Kelly kind of way, but he also has a very good vibe about him. Good energy. Fun energy. It's Nick, I smile shyly, lining back up to throw my darts.
Nick.
he says with a grin.
I like it. I'm Kid. Nice to officially meet you. But what are you doing here? On a date?
He looks around behind me as if some man is about to jump out at him. Something like that, I respond, trying not to admit that I'm a loser who takes herself on dates. The door flies open again as Hawk walks through. I groan internally at the sight of him. Fitted black jeans, loose-fitting olive-green top with his leather jacket on top, and black lace-up combat boots to match. He should just announce, "I'm a bad boy," upon arrival. I think we'd all get it. His cold, hard face turns to find his friend as his eyes narrow at my presence. He looks around, confused, then walks over to us, his inky hair falling into his eyes before he swiftly pushes it back.
What are you doing here?
He asks in a hostile tone.
She's on a date.
Kid answers with a grin, wiggling his eyebrows at Hawk. His face drops as he looks back at me with a quizzical expression.
Toad, there you are!
Kid yells, running over to the bar to someone he recognizes. Hawk, Kid, Toad. What's up with people in this town and their strange names?
You're on a date.
Hawk practically growls at the words. Chill, bro. I'm here by myself. I retort with an attitude all my own, turning to throw a dart. The liquor is definitely kicking in, along with the confidence, apparently. Screw him anyway. I have more rights to this place than him. I work here. Hawk repositions himself in front of the dartboard, casually leaning back and dropping his head against it, looking at me through lowered lids while toying with that lip ring with his tongue again. Move, or you'll force me to show you how good I really am. His eyes rake over my body, and I can feel every part that they touch like a ray of lasered heat. He lingers on my exposed thighs, then trails his gaze back up to my eyes, a grin forming.
Wanna make a bet?
He asks in a dangerous tone. I shouldn't, but screw it. Dragon's blood. Sure.
Shot for shot. Whoever gets the highest points on one throw wins.
Easy. What are we betting on? He turns to grab the darts from the board as I accidentally peer at his tight, muscular thighs and ass in those distressed black jeans. He's so proportional.
You decide,
he says, handing me the dart. I think for a moment, then look at the bar, coming up with an idea. If I win, you have to finish the bottle of dragon's blood. His brows knit together as he looks at me like I'm crazy, clearly not understanding what I'm talking about.
Fine.
He shakes his head as if it doesn't matter anyway.
If I win, you come with us.
What? Come with you where? He doesn't answer, just holds his hand out for me to shake. Black rings line his long fingers, his knuckles pronounced, more than likely split from numerous fistfights. I see the hawk tattooed on the back of his hand, noticing how it somehow represents his strength in the way it's formed. Grabbing his hand, I shake it, feeling slightly flushed at the contact, then feel him tighten his grip, holding on to it, not letting go. I direct my eyes towards his, and the seriousness his face holds makes me swallow. He's looking through me again. My body comes alive in his presence, and I'm suddenly aware of everything. My heart pounding in my chest, my hair standing on the back of my neck, my hand burning from our only point of contact. He finally lets go, and I stand with my toe against the yellow taped line, attempting to breathe while lining my arm for the shot. I shoot, hitting the 20. I glance over at him with a little smirk. Take that, sucker. He removes his leather coat, setting it on the chair at the pub table behind us, and then rolls his shoulders as if preparing to pitch a no-hitter. I try to sneak a peek at his veiny, tattooed arms, but before I can even make out one image, his head twists towards me as he throws the dart. I squint, trying to see where it landed, then look back to Hawk, who hasn't taken his eyes off me. He hit the triple 20. You bastard. He smirks, then turns to grab his jacket from the chair where he left it, never even looking at the board. He puts his arms through it, showcasing a flash of tattooed flesh beneath his shirt, above his pelvis. There's a phrase that's inked there, and I want nothing more than to find out what it says. But before I can see it, he turns and begins walking towards the exit. With his palm flat on the door, he turns back, giving me a little let's go nod. I take a deep breath and sigh. This is about to be bad. Kid sees Hawk leaving and pats the guy he was talking to on the back.
Ah, shit. Looks like we're leaving. Catch you later, man.
He bumps into me as we both head to the door together.
Hey, Nick, you leaving?
Nope, I'm coming. He looks at Hawk, who's grinning mischievously back at me, then back to my reluctant face.
Well, all right then.
He wiggles his eyebrows with a devilish smirk.
But I get shoddy.
I follow them over to a vintage burnt orange Mustang, ready to hop into the back seat when Hawk wraps his hand around my wrist, stopping me.
Fuck no, you don't. Getting back.
He yells at Kid, letting go of my wrist so I can walk around the car. I rub the spot he touched, suddenly feeling the burn of his skin on mine again. We all get into the car, one I've never seen at our place before. I didn't think Hawk even had a car, to be honest. But this one is unique. It feels like if he would fix it up a bit, it'd be worth a lot. We take off, driving to an unknown location as the smell of weed fills my nose.
You want a hit?
Kid asks me with a coarse tone to his voice, tapping my shoulder lightly with a bowl. I've smoked weed before, more than once, actually, but at the moment I'm feeling nervous as hell, not knowing where I'm going with a crazy-haired pothead and an ex-convict driving me there. Kinda not feeling the vibe.
You dick. You know I'm still on probation. Get that shit out of here.
Hawk yells from his seat, glaring at him in the rearview mirror.
Oh, you're such a drag. Drag, get it?
He laughs hysterically in a high-pitched hyena voice from the back seat, clearly on his way to being messed up already. I glance at Hawk, who must feel my eyes on him because he looks over at me. Shaking his head at Kid, he readjusts his grip on the wheel, slouching back into the seat with his legs spread wide. He looks ridiculously attractive driving this car. So natural, so manly. I divert my attention away from him towards the window for the duration of the trip as a necessity. We finally turn onto another road, then turn again, pulling up a small pathway between rows of trees until we follow an old gravel road leading us to a cabin in the woods. Hawk parks the car and gets out, saying nothing. I instantly feel stupid for agreeing to this bet. Damn dragon's blood. There are a few other cars lined up, and I can already hear the bass of music being played from inside. Laughter comes from the porch, and a couple of girls are hanging out outside the door. Is that who I think it is? One girl, a brunette with shoulder-length hair, yells. We walk towards the door as Hawk grabs my hand, lacing his fingers through mine gently. I suck in a breath. The intimate gesture has me looking down at our hands, then up at him with confusion. What is he doing? He gives me a light nod as to go along with it. So I do. We approach the girls, and their eyes immediately go to Hawk. Oh my God, it is you! I didn't think you were coming back. The brunette jumps up and attempts to hug him. I try to move back and release his hand when he holds on tighter, pulling me back towards him. Guess once wasn't enough. She tries, kissing him, and he backs away from her, pushing her down with one hand and pulls me into his waist. It's a strange feeling. It feels so natural and so comforting while also making every part of my skin that's touching him itchy.
Fuck off, Lila.
Her smile drops as he pushes us past her. She scowls at me as I stare wide-eyed at her. I didn't come here for trouble. I feel her glare following me more than I can see it. She's pissed. An ex-girlfriend, perhaps? Clearly, they messed around earlier tonight, probably before he came to the bar. We walk into the cabin, and I get hit with a pungent smell of stale beer, weed, and firewood. A strange mixture, but this is a party cabin, clearly. There's a couple making out on the vintage chair in the corner of the room. A girl going down on a guy in the kitchen. And a guy and two girls getting intimate on the couch. The coffee table is lined with drugs and beer bottles, whiskey bottles, pipes, coke, you name it. Kid runs over to a girl with jet black hair who's sitting on the kitchen counter, clearly waiting for him. Her body littered with tattoos and piercings. He grabs her by the back of the neck, tilting her head and sticking his tongue down her throat immediately. Where the hell are we? A couple of scantily dressed women shoot more glares in my direction, then focus their eyes on Hawk. It appears he's the hot commodity here. What is this? I ask softly, still staring at the couples practically engaging in sex before me.
A party?
He replies smugly, enjoying my prudish behavior. My wide eyes focus on the guy with two girls as one of them undoes the zipper of his pants, while the other licks his tongue. This is not a party. 7. Bullshit Night.
You're so pure,
Hawk mocks in a condescending tone. He leads me out of the busy group sex session that appears to be forming in the living room and into a room off the hallway that has a couch along the wall and a distressed leather lounge chair settled into the corner. Books fill a bookshelf in the opposing corner, and there's a wooden desk against the wall under the window. He sits back into the lounge chair, cracking open the beer he grabbed for us and props one leg up. Taking a drink of the beer, I noticed the roll of his throat as he takes a long pull, staring at me the entire time until his lips finally slip from the glass bottle. Because I don't attend orgies or junkie parties on the regular? Yeah, okay. I scoff, attempting to open the beer he so kindly handed me. But I can't. It's not a twist-off. He watches me struggle with a cocked brow and an amused smirk pulling at the corner of his lip before standing, stripping my hands of it. He hits the top of it at the same time he drops the bottle against the corner of the desk beside him, effortlessly opening it and handing it back to me. I swallow before looking away, reluctantly taking it from him. So why were you at the bar anyway? I ask, attempting to clear the awkward air with conversation. He rests his arms casually on his knee, the neck of the beer hanging from his fingers.
Kid needed a quick ride. He's tanked, clearly.
He needed a ride to the bar? To stop there and then leave? I ask. I'm confused.
See? Pure.
His lips hover on the rim of his bottle as his eyes roll. I sit and think about that for a minute. Then it clicks. He was probably buying or selling drugs. Hawk was his sober ride. I'm getting really annoyed by his rapid change in attitude. First, he's playful and somewhat easygoing. Then he's annoyed and standoffish. Why bring me here if this was all that was going to happen? Sitting in an office while people have sex and do drugs around us? I could have been back home by now, in my pajamas. Why did you want to bring me? Why even make the bet? He toys with his bottle, peeling at the corner of the label before his eyes snap up to mine.
I just wanted to piss off Lila. You looked decent enough.
His eyes trail my body, focusing on my exposed thighs again.
Plus, it's entertaining for me, seeing her upset. Now she'll leave me the fuck alone.
He comments, before returning to his bottle peeling. Dick. He brought me here just to use me to piss off some girl he messed around with so she wouldn't bother him? He's disgusting. You're a class act. You used me.
Please, this is the most thrilling thing you've done all year. I'm sure of it.
I was having more fun by myself. My arms cross over my chest as I glare at him.
Really? Going to the bar? That you work at? By yourself? It's the saddest shit I've heard in a while.
I roll my eyes. Let's just go home already. His face turns combative at the mention, but then his lips curl up again.
As much as I love the fact that you call my place your home,
his grin drops to a scowl.
We can't.
What do you mean? Take me home. Let's get in your car and go. This is stupid, I say before turning to leave the room.
Cole, wait.
He rushes, getting up off the lounge chair and walking towards me. He grabs my arm, pulling me back and shuts the door I had just opened. Pushing me back against it, I suck in a breath as the hard surface hits my back. He holds the doorknob in one hand as his other rests on the wood beside my head. His face is inches from mine, and it's obvious in the way his pupils dilate that the closeness is doing something strange to him. What are you doing? I ask breathlessly, surprised by his actions and his response to them. He knows I'm with Patrick. This can't be what it seems.
You should stay in here,
he says, his gaze drifting down to my parted lips.
It's not safe for you out there.
Why? I whisper, too aware of his closeness to me. I have a feeling witnessing an orgy would be a lot safer than this bubble of hawks I'm in. I feel the electricity pulling my body to his, but I fight it. It's wrong. He's wrong. He keeps gazing from my eyes to my lips, slowly inching forward as his mouth parts ever so slightly, then pulling away, tightening his jaw. He closes his eyes, slowly moving forward until his forehead drops on the door next to me. He turns his head, facing my cheek as I try to remain focused on looking forward. My eyes curiously look over at him, our lips inches apart. A pained expression takes over his face and he closes his eyes. Why is he doing this to me? I smell the faint beer on his breath and wonder for a second if his tongue tastes the same. Jesus, Nick, snap out of it. My heart rate is fast enough to cause a heart attack. My chest rises and falls at the light contact between us, and my entire body comes alive, realizing his presence. Yet I'm frozen in place. I couldn't move if I wanted to. He opens his eyes, catching me biting the corner of my lip. His tongue glides slowly across his bottom lip as his dangerous eyes seem to imagine things, things that he shouldn't. The animalistic look that once held his eyes slowly turns from passion into a painful emotion that spreads across his face.
Oh, fuck.
He slams his hand against the door next to my head, making me gasp as he turns and walks back to the chair. He finishes the rest of his beer in a quick few swallows, then tosses the bottle in a bin near the desk. I'm just standing there, pinned to the door in confusion.
We can't go right now. I don't have a car.
He scowls out the window. My eyebrow raises in question, and he turns to see it.
It's Kid's car now. I sold it to him.
Well, that explains why he looked so casual and comfortable while driving it. So if I understand correctly, he sold his house, sold his car, and sold his soul too, by the looks of things. He's got nothing but Patrick and me to help him get back on his feet. Patrick, I shouldn't be here. Why am I here? So are you going to tell me why you really brought me here, Hawk, or are we just going to stay locked in this room forever? I demand, walking towards where he's sitting, needing answers. His face hardens and I feel a coldness come about, the darkness clouding his gaze. Not the same one he had a minute ago when our foreheads were together, when his eyes told an unspoken story of want and pain, when we were breathing the same air.
The truth? Guess I was hoping you'd suck me off, maybe more,
he says cruelly, his brows lowering. He switched up entirely. The guy that playfully brought me here, the one who looked at me with a pain in his eyes by the door, the one who's clearly protecting me from the shit going on outside this door. He's gone, replaced with this repulsive being who's intentionally trying to upset me. He wears so many hats. You're disgusting. The comment and the fact that he knows he's under my skin has him standing and lurking back towards me again.
Am I?
He cocks his head and I swallow, knowing I'm in trouble.
The way you bite the corner of that lip every time I'm near you and the way I can literally see your pulse pounding in that delicate little neck of yours says otherwise.
I take a step back, then another one as he continues to close in on me again,
I mean, don't you wonder what it's like to be fucked by someone like me? That painful pleasure that's just sitting deep inside you.
He backs me toward the couch against the wall near the door.
There's an ache, a want, no, a need to be filled.
My eyelids grow heavy as my lips part open at his erotic words. I can feel myself getting flustered again as I become numb by his tone and the deep, sultry voice he uses to coax me, curious about this pleasure he so willingly speaks of. He ushers me against the couch until the back of my calves hit and I fall back into the seat. I quickly press my thighs together under my skirt, and he takes notice.
Isn't that what you need?
He asks, leaning in closer.
To be fucked.
His tone is raspier than normal, his entire demeanor somewhat terrifying, yet the words he spews entirely erotic. He leans over me now, fists gripping the back of the couch as I sit beneath him, my legs unintentionally slipping open as one of his thighs slides against the inside of mine. I feel myself getting excited through my panties, my toes curling tightly into my shoes, my nipples suddenly awakened and aching to be touched, licked, sucked, anything. The no touching is driving me to the brink of insanity. I blink my eyes rapidly, trying to wake from this sexual intoxication. I get fucked, I reply, furrowing my brow as I glare back at him, but my breathy answer says anything but. His dark, inky hair drops into his eyes, our faces inches apart. He toys with his lip ring again, clearly knowing what it does to me now.
Like I said, I've heard, literally, and no, you don't.
He tips his head to the side.
Bet you want to know what this feels like against you.
He flicks his tongue against the ring again.
I see you looking at it all the time.
Because it's repulsive, I counter, lying.
I beg to differ. I think you want to see what it's like to wrap those soft lips around it.
His lips curl into a devilish grin again. He puts more weight on the knee onto the couch between my legs, rubbing the inside of my exposed thigh again. My aching center is begging to be rubbed by that knee. If he just leaned a little further... Nope, I'm losing myself. My body is entirely alive and alert in his presence, and I hate it. I can't control this lust. That's what it is. It's lust. Lust I don't seem to have for Patrick because we have love. It's different. It's better. He leans forward, looking down at my parted lips, and I'm sure he's going to kiss me. His hand comes up as he slowly drags his fingers along my jawline and then under my chin, holding it between his thumb and forefinger. It's too much. I'm feeling too many things someone in a relationship should feel. I turn my head to the side, out of his grasp. I want to go home, I say abruptly, closing my eyes tightly, wishing like Dorothy to get my ass out of here, away from this temptation. A dangerous temptation that has me questioning myself. This isn't the place for me. I slowly open my eyes and peek to see him paused in place with an eerie look on his face. He straightens entirely at my words. His cocky smirk instantly drops into a somber face, almost sad for a moment, as he gazes deeply into my eyes again, trying to read me. He turns, looking around the room, shaking his head.
Yeah.
He nods, almost agreeing to something in his own head before running a hand through his locks.
Yeah, let's go.
He walks out of the room as I sit there confused by his total switch up again. Was that part of his plan? To seduce me? Sell me out? Ruin my relationship? Friends don't do things like this to each other. Patrick and Huck's relationship is confusing me more and more every day. I get up, following out the same way he left. The couples are all still groping, touching, licking, and sucking things to the beat of the surrounding bass. There are people snorting coke off the end table, and a woman topless in the corner, dancing with a handsy guy. Looking closer, I see that Lila chick he was trying to make jealous in the other corner, still eyeing me with daggers. My eyes find Hawk in the kitchen where I see him talking to Kit again. The woman's legs are still wrapped around his skinny waist on the couch, her mouth on his tatted neck while he talks to Hawk. He grabs his keys from his back pocket and tosses them to him. Hawk starts towards the door, giving me a nod to follow. Internally groaning, I clench my jaw, hating the way he expects me to just follow a head nod. We get into the car as the scowl takes over my face. What a bullshit night. I'm mad at Hawk for bringing me here to use me, then embarrass me. I'm mad at myself for even agreeing to come. And I'm mad at Patrick for leaving me when he could have prevented this entire evening from happening by just being home with me on my night off. I see Hawk peer over at me from the corner of my vision. I roll my eyes and lean my head against the window. The drive couldn't take any longer, and I swear he's never driven so slowly in his entire life. The silence is deafening, and I'm counting the seconds until I can get out of this vehicle with him. His presence is just aggravating. He toys with me, teases me, does things to get a reaction, then leaves me feeling all awkward and self-conscious for having one. It's strange. What's the intention? I check my phone to see if Patrick texted me yet, and my heart skips a beat when I see he did.
Sorry, baby. It's going to be a late night. Might just crash at my parents. Still here, working through files.
I read the text and let out a whiny groan, causing Hawk to look my way again. I drop my head back against the window until we get back. As he pulls into the driveway, I grab the handle to the door, ready to pull it open before the car even stops. I can't get out of here fast enough.
Cole,
he says in a raspy tone. I close my eyes, not wanting to turn and look at him.
Cole, I'm sorry,
he whispers in a peculiar tone, different from the one used at the cabin. What he's apologizing for, I'm not even sure anymore. Who knows? Who cares? I'm too grown for kids' games. I just continue pushing the door open, leaving him behind me while I open the front door and make my way to my bedroom. Collapsing onto my bed, the tears follow shortly after. I feel guilty for how I felt under his gaze. I feel sad for being used to provoke someone else. I feel strange for enjoying being in that private space with Hawk, liking how it made my body feel alive. Something about me just feels totally off with what happened. I can't even begin to describe it. All I know is I wish things could go back to being easy again. Less complicated. Less weird. I finally hear Hawk enter the house, listening for his footsteps as he walks towards my door. I hold my breath, hoping he doesn't knock or say anything. And thankfully, he doesn't. The footsteps pause, then fade away, just like the vision of the fun night I thought I could have by myself. A weird part of me wants to know why he's sorry. A part wants to know what he processed in that room when he turned off the seduction real fast and became a sad version of himself. The other part of me doesn't want to care at all. He's an ex-convict, a liar, a man-whore, a manipulator, and who knows what else? He's proving that to me day by day. I attempt to sleep this night off and hope that tomorrow brings some sort of clarity. Clarity I desperately need. 8. Never nap. The next morning, I roll over, reaching to feel the cold spot on the bed beside me. Even though I knew Patrick was going to be staying overnight at his parents' house, a small part of me still hoped he'd come back late at night. The need to be near me, touch me, smell me, unbearable for him. But it wasn't. I reluctantly roll out of bed, aware of the fact that my roommate may be in the bathroom or in the kitchen, so I throw on some oversized sweats and a sweatshirt, tossing my mess of hair into a messy bun and head for my lifeline, the coffee maker. As soon as I open the bedroom door, I'm hit with the smell of freshly ground coffee beans and the back of a certain someone's head. There's no escaping him. Walking into the kitchen, I brush past where he's sitting at the table. I'm not totally over the embarrassment of last night, but I'm also not the type of person who holds grudges. Today is a new day, and the ability to get along with him, or at least tolerate him, is inevitable. I grab my favorite mug from the cupboard, sensing his eyes all over me as I pour myself a cup. Feeling the need to clear the awkward air, I sigh against the counter, then turn to face him. He's sitting in a chair at the kitchen table, legs crossed in his sweats and no shirt. His hair is wild and twisted all over the place, but he pairs it with a shockingly bright smile on his unfortunately attractive face. "What are you so happy about? It's not even 9. I groan, crinkling my nose. He slides down into his seat, crossing his arms behind his head, clearly unaware of how disgustingly perfect that makes him look, and shrugs.
"I don't know. Guess I'm just a happy kind of guy."
The comment, made by probably the moodiest person I've ever known, has me nearly buckling over with laughter. "You must be insane." I shake my head, putting some creamer into my cup.
"Honestly,"
he begins, swallowing, and my curious eyes find his again. His humorous face drops into a solemn look.
"I just wanted to let you know I'm sorry about last night."
My lips part. I don't know what to say. I don't even understand last night, nor do I really want to. "It's fine, really."
"Are you going to tell Patrick what happened?"
he asks abruptly, catching me off guard. I stall at his question as my mind swirls around it. Was what happened significant enough that I'd need to tell my boyfriend? I suck in a breath. No. I mean, what is there to tell?"
"Right,"
he murmurs, his eyes wincing in the corners. I stare at him with my cup in hand, trying to figure out this man in a glance as I lean against the kitchen counter. He sits forward in his seat, eyes on mine as well. We stay like that for a minute at least, and it's the strangest feeling. It's strange because it doesn't feel weird. Just two people gazing at each other. "Well, I'm sure you have plans today."
"I don't,"
he answers immediately, eyes still glued to mine. I suck in a breath and blow it out. "Okay."
"Okay, well, wanna watch a movie or something? I don't have shit to do, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm bored as hell."
"How kind. I'm really thankful to be here for you to fall back on when you have nothing else cool to do." He chuckles, showcasing that little dimple on his right cheek, one that I'm sure most people never get the chance to see or even know exists. I hardly believe he smiles at anyone except for me when he's taunting or teasing.
"Cool,"
he says, clearly mocking my use of the word playfully. The word sounds so unnatural coming from him and his whole badass look.
"Come on, we can be friends."
He runs his hand along the back of his neck, tilting his head to the side. "Friends," I cock a brow. "Yeah, right."
"It's not like we don't live together. We should find a common ground. What's your favorite movie?"
"Favorite movie? That's like asking a lawnmower which blade of grass is its favorite." His face contorts.
"What a strange thing to say."
I chuckle. "I just mean there are so many I love to tear through. I could never pick just one." He nods lightly as if understanding.
"Okay. Genre?"
"Mob movies." He tips his head at my quick response, nodding while circling his finger around the edge of his coffee cup.
"Looks like we found our common ground."
He grins at me with a certain twinkle in his eye. We settle into opposing sides of the couch and decide on Goodfellas, one of Hawk's favorite movies. I get curled up into the blanket as he stretches out entirely on the end part of the L-shaped couch. I check my phone, hoping to see a good morning text from Patrick anytime now, but keep waiting with nothing activating my phone. It's ridiculous, really. I understand he's working hard, but him being gone from the house for this long is getting weird. I refuse to believe he'd actually be seeing someone else. A cheater in the Catholic world does not fly. His family would castrate him before I would. But despite that, this entire situation is hitting a nerve of mine. About halfway through the film, I hear slow, steady breaths coming from the other end of the couch. I peer over at Hawk and find he's sleeping, one hand draped over his stomach while the other is casually resting above his head. My phone vibrates against my thigh, so I check it immediately.
Patrick, hey, I was up late working, only slept a few hours. We'll try to finish out some of these files this afternoon, if that's all right. I'll be back later today. Love you, Angel.
Great. Just great. I'm trying not to get angry, but it hurts. It's a heartbreaking kind of pain to come second to someone who always comes first to you. I turn back to Hawk and study him for a moment. The previously repulsive, egotistical asshole suddenly looks peaceful and soft, almost childlike. His mouth is slightly parted, leaving his full lips looking pouty, and I finally get a close look at the random tattoos littering his arms and chest. Random shapes grouped together, the hawk on his hand, skulls paired with roses, and a few choice word slogans. One slogan says, "I lied to get here." Another says, "Aren't we all sinners?" There's a strange beauty in his chaos, a deceptive depth to his story, a magic to his madness. A blanket lays propped up behind him on the edge of the couch, so I get up, walk over, and quietly pull it off. I reach over his sleeping body to pull it, and when I finally do, he rustles beneath me. I still myself above him, then lay it down across his exposed chest, covering the length of him while hoping he doesn't wake up. As I'm turning to go back to my warmed space on the other side of the couch, I'm stopped by a hand on my hip. Hawk grabs me, pulling me down onto the couch next to him. He wraps an arm around my waist, pulling me back into his chest, then wraps the blanket over us. I stiffen immediately, my breath catching. Does he know what he's doing? Is he dreaming? He curls his legs up behind me, spooning me while he sighs and breathes softly against my neck. My heart rate is racing and I'm frozen in position. What do I do? If I get up and he wakes up seeing me here, what will he think? As much as I know I need to move, I settle into his warmth, his hard chest behind me. I can't help but to be totally and completely aware of the presence of his manhood pressed against my backside. Good Lord. I swallow, trying to regulate my breathing by watching the movie, then decide to move after he's fallen into a deeper sleep. Before I can do just that, I slip into my own slumber, peacefully falling asleep with Hawk curled around me. The ringing in my ear is loud and obnoxious. I press the button on my snooze, but it doesn't stop.
Make it stop.
I hear a deep, raspy voice in my ear, causing my spine to straighten and sit upright. Oh my God. I fell asleep next to him. Panicking, I search the living room, then behind me towards the kitchen, seeing no Patrick in sight. My phone rings again, snapping me out of my horrified thoughts. Hello? I say before clearing my throat, sounding guilty as hell.
Hey, Angel, I'm on my way back. Just wondering if you want me to pick up some food. Maybe a pizza? Is Hawk there?
Shit. I look back over my shoulder at Hawk, who is still lying there with his eyes closed. What am I doing? Yeah, pizza sounds good. There's a slight pause in the conversation, and I convince myself he knows I'm a dirty whore who takes naps with random ex-convicts in her boyfriend's home.
You all right? You sound a little out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. I just woke up from a nap. Fact?
All right. Well, I'll grab a couple of pizzas and be back soon. Love you.
My heart hurts. Love you too, I respond, wincing in regretful pain. I hang up the phone, sitting there for a minute, trying to convince myself I'm not the worst person in the world, when I feel Hawk move beside me.
Fuck, yes. pizza,
he groans, stretching his legs. I get up immediately, pulling the blanket off him entirely, then chuck it back at him, hitting him in the face.
The fuck?
Why did you do that? I yell.
Do what?
Pull me into you. I'm with Patrick. He scoffs, running his hand through his hair that I so eagerly messed up with the blanket.
Chill out, crazy. I didn't see you moving. You could have got up.
I grit my teeth, scowling at him. He's right, and I hate it.
It's really not that big of a deal,
he says coldly, rolling his eyes. Just please don't tell Patrick, I ask, feeling my heart ache in my chest.
Tell him what?
He comments angrily before getting off the couch, heading towards his room and slamming the door. I go to the bathroom, adjusting my messy hair and spraying some of my perfume on to cover any smell of hawk that may be lingering on me. Patrick comes back home after another 10 minutes, and I imagine how it could have been if he didn't call and just walked in on us, curled up together, sleeping on the couch. My stomach churns.
Zaz here. Come get it while it's hot.
He drops the pizza on the table at the same time Hawk exits his room. I was really hoping he'd stay locked up in there for the rest of the evening. You know, to make my life easier.
How was your night, Angel?
Patrick kisses my cheek, making me blush. It was, I glance at Hawk, who's also conveniently looking at me. Interesting, to say the least.
I missed you,
he comments before kissing my lips. I kiss him back eagerly, almost attempting to kiss away my strange, cuddling infidelity. Hawk clears his throat, ruining the moment. I roll my eyes.
Hawk, sorry, man. How are you?
I'm great. Refreshed from one of the most comfortable naps I've probably ever had.
He grins smugly at me. My smile drops instantly, heart racing, throat constricting.
Yeah, that bed isn't so bad, is it? Nick and I slept on that our last year of college. It's comfortable for being so old.
Patrick answers, oblivious to the remark.
Is that so?
Hawk cocks his head to the side.
Did you enjoy sleeping on it too, Nick?
He directs the question at me, with an emphasis on the ick of Nick. With a twinkle in his mischievous eyes and a smirk pulling at his lips, it's clear to me he's thoroughly enjoying this little game of his. Unfortunately, no. There's a pesky coil that pops up and ruins everything. Worst sleep of my life, I reply, eyes narrowed at him.
What? I thought you loved that bed.
Patrick comments, grabbing a slice as Hawk's eyebrows raise humorously. Loath. Loath is the appropriate term, I grumble. We know the truth behind the conversation. The euphemisms for our little nap setting up a fun game for him. I can only hope Hawk plays nicely. 9. Portrait of the Past. There are so many things I feel like I know to be true in this world. For one, Patrick loves me. Another is the fact that Hawk is someone entirely unknown to me. As much as I feel like I understand him to an extent, the reality is he's got a past, a horrible one at that. Despite that, how is it you can still find so much comfort in the proximity of someone you don't know? I am bound and determined to get to the bottom of whatever the past was between these two friends to discover the truth of who I'd been abashedly spending my free time with. After an uncomfortable dinner, Hawk finally left after getting picked up by Kid to go who knows where to do who knows what, or who. I was glad to finally have some alone time with Patrick, even if it was long overdue.
Remember that night we ordered pizza at the Roma after Chris's birthday party?
I snort, already remembering the memory. The night we never got a chance to eat the pizza because we both fell asleep in the cab on the way back, forgot it on the back seat.
Oh, I was so mad. The Roma has the best pizza, and we just left it there like it was nothing.
Well, I think we had other things on our mind that night. I grin seductively. He pulls me into him on the couch.
We sure did. I couldn't take another minute without putting my hands all over you. You looked phenomenal in that dress.
He nuzzles his nose into me playfully. God, Chris was so drunk. Remember he told me that if I didn't marry you, he'd amputate his thumb after medical school?
He said that?
I told you that.
Well, we can't let that happen. Everyone needs a thumb.
He smiles, pulling my hand up to his lips and kissing my thumb. I bite my lip, cuddling into him again on the couch. This is how we were. Playful, happy, content. We just need to get back to us again. The distractions and issues lately have my head spinning, and I just want to get back to what makes sense. Part of that problem is the new roommate. So, in all honesty, how long do you think this arrangement is going to last? I question, circling my finger in the air as we lay back on the couch.
What, with Hawk living here?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I didn't set a date or anything for him to leave by, just assumed he'd figure it out once he got his feet on the ground again.
And how is he going to do that? Seems he has no interest in finding a job, unless you count hooking up with whores, a daytime gig. Patrick chuckles, dropping his arm around me. He pulls me into him and continues watching the television while talking.
If it bothers you, I can talk to him.
No way. That would only insinuate that I didn't like him seeing other women, which is not the impression I want to make. No, really, it's fine. He kisses the top of my head and continues silently watching the episode. I pull back from him, turning to face him with my legs crossed beneath me on the couch. I want to know something. He cocks his brow, sensing my seriousness.
Of course, anything.
My lip springs free of my teeth before I finally ask, what was Hawk in prison for?
Oh, Nick.
He groans, looking away. What? Why can't I know? I trust you to tell me the truth of the matter before I find out on the internet for myself. He sighs, rubbing his forehead with his thumb and forefinger. Tell me, I demand. He glares back over at me, reluctant to talk. So I cock my head with my brows raised, making it clear I'm not dropping this.
I don't want to get into it. It's not my place.
He raises his hands. Seriously, Patrick?
Look, I've got a plate full of work I need to focus on, a girlfriend to keep happy and bills to pay. I'm not focusing on the past, just moving forward. Don't bother yourself with the technicalities. He's out now and trying to make a life for himself. No need to go digging.
He ends the conversation with that, leaving me utterly confused. Why is he protecting him? I'm going to find out what happened, one way or another. Soon after our episode finishes, we climb onto our queen-sized mattress together after brushing our teeth and washing up before bed. He wraps his arms around me, holding me to his chest as his thumb trails along my arm. I run my fingers through the light chest hair, enjoying the smell of him I missed so much. How could I ever have done this with Hawk? It's so intimate, cuddling, holding someone like this. What a terrible mistake that was. I missed this last night. He sighs, continuing his motions along my arm.
I'm sad to say there will be more of that.
I prop my chin up on his chest. What? What do you mean?
One of our accounts in Denver wants us there to meet with the executives to discuss advancing our services. I was going to tell you about it tomorrow so we could enjoy tonight, but you need to know.
Patrick!
I'm sorry, Angel. You know I hate leaving you, but this is important.
Important? We are important. Why can't your dad go? I know I'm being childish. This is his job, and the company is doing extremely well. I should be overjoyed at the fact that they are extending the business statewide and beyond. But it hurts. I hate when he leaves, and I miss him when he's gone.
This is what I need to do. I'm taking over more of his accounts. You know this.
I huff in frustration, turning my cheek and laying back down on his chest.
Hey, don't be upset. Please, Nick.
I'm trying not to be. I really am. It's not like I'm new to this. Even while in college, we had our fun, but studies always came first. He just seemed so much more laid back then, not so worried about his father's expectations and trying to appease him.
I'll be leaving next week for a few days to jumpstart the paperwork and get our presentations ready. When I get back, we can plan an entire weekend of dates. How's that sound?
He kisses the top of my head, squeezing me, attempting to cheer me up. I work weekends, Patrick. How's that going to work?
Maybe you can get that guy to fill in for you? I'm sure there's a way.
There's always a way for me to move around my life for him. I drop things for Patrick, and he expects that now, because my job isn't as important as his. He never drops things for me. It isn't right. I roll over onto my side, hoping he'll realize how upset I am and try to figure it out. Make it better. Make me happy. But he doesn't. He rolls over to the side and falls asleep, assuming that tomorrow will be better. Tomorrow, I'll give in. I can't sleep. My mind is reeling and I feel the need to scream, but I can't. I want to shake Patrick awake, tell him he needs to make a real place for me in his life or I'm leaving. But I can't. Unfortunately, I depend on him financially. I moved here knowing I'd be living in this house with him, not needing to help with the mortgage. He'd allowed me the chance to stay here and pursue my writing career, finally try to focus on what I love. I owe him that. I also know that if I make a big deal out of this, it won't change anything. He'll still stick to pleasing those bigwigs at the company and expect me to understand. He'd do anything for them and his dad, but would he do anything for me? I creep out of bed, slowly tiptoeing out of the bedroom in my silk nightshirt and shorts, hoping to get a glass of water and get my mind right. The kitchen is dark and quiet. I'm assuming Hawk is still out because I don't see a light coming from beneath the door to his room. Then I hear it.
Yeah. Take it. Oh, fuck. Take it all.
His deep, strained voice tells me all I need to know about whoever is in there taking it. I hear slurping noises along with his breathy groans, and I know exactly what's happening behind that door. He's got a girl over, and she's sucking him off.
Come on, faster,
he demands as the slurping continues along with his grunts and groans. I can't move. I'm frozen in place listening to this interaction. It's horrible. It's disgusting. It's wrong. But with my lack of an adequate sex life at the moment, it's surprisingly erotic.
Use your hands.
He keeps telling her what to do and doesn't sound happy about it, but they keep going at it. I listen for a few more seconds until I hear him come. I actually hear him come. He's groaning as I imagine him filling this chick's mouth with it, shooting it down her throat. I wonder what his face looks like. I wonder if she's enjoying being able to get him off. What's wrong with me? I shake my head at the stupid and completely disturbing curiosities, grabbing a glass from the cabinet and filling it with water. I swallow a few sips, then set it back down in the sink and make my way back to the bedroom. I'm not fast enough. He opens the door as soon as I'm walking past. His eyes catch mine, and a curious, confused look overtakes his face. He's wearing a pair of sweats, and his skin is glistening with perspiration. His mouth drops open as he takes in the sight of me. I swallow, looking away, glad for the darkness of the room to mask my flush as I make my way back into the bedroom. The woman who he was with is promptly ushered out. So much for cuddling, I guess. Such a man whore. The next morning, I wake up early, as always, ready for the thing that satisfies me more than anything else. Coffee. To my surprise, even after his late-night rendezvous, Hawk is already up, sitting at the table in a pair of black sweatpants with a matching sweatshirt, his hair ruffled as if he slept on it while it was wet, and the coffee brewing away from the pot. I should have known. Guess this is a thing. Early birds obsessed with coffee. We definitely have that in common.
Good morning.
He speaks first, his green eyes twinkling as a tiny grin forms in the corner of his lips. I bet it is, I comment with a snarky attitude, raising a brow suggestively. He knows I heard him. He has to.
It's like that.
He chuckles, showcasing his teeth before tonguing his lip ring. His smile is completely contagious in the worst possible way. It gives me jitters in the pit of my stomach. Knowing I can make him smile like that is a dangerous game I'm not ready to play. Like what? He shakes his head, running his hands through his hair. I place my elbow on the counter, leaning to the side casually, waiting.
Well, for your information, it wasn't that great.
Oh, yeah? Why's that?
I've never had to work so hard to get off. Some people have no fucking idea what they're doing when it comes to sex.
Oh, I whisper, my throat suddenly thick. I'm more than likely one of those people. In the grand scheme of things, I'm practically considered a prude when it comes to the topic of sex. Not that I've really tried to be super courageous in exploring.